Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and today we are talking to Deborah Hamilton, who is an Irish setter fancier, an attorney, a conflict mediator, and has some great ideas for us about planning for your pets in case of the 5 D's. And Deborah, tell us what those 5 D's are.
Well, thank you, Laura. It's important to make sure that you don't forget to plan for your pets long-term and short-term. So the 5 D's stand for the things that could happen that you don't want to think about. I mean, we never think about wanting to make our will for ourselves, but maybe you'll make the will for yourself if you recognize you might leave your beloved animal stranded. So it's actually 6 D's now because it's divorce, which sometimes causes a lot of conflict, and who gets the dog. Disease, so if you get sick, what happens? You want to keep the dogs with you? Is there someone there who can care for you and care for the pets? Disaster, so we have the fires in California, the floods in the South from all the over it, or now even out in the Midwest because of the snow melt. Disability, so you break a leg, you break an arm. How many of us in the dog show world trip and fall now that we're over 21? You know, we sometimes trip and fall frequently. And, you know, sometimes you get up and you bounce and sometimes you don't. So that's an issue. Delay, so you can't get home to the dogs or you can't get to your dogs. And death, you know, the last one is death. And that's the ultimate end point. So what I've decided to do, only because, Laura, here I am, a mediator of conflicts between people over animals. I never thought to do anything that had to do with estate planning until in 2013, we can all relate to this. One of my dogs got out of my backyard and there was a fresh snow. So, hey, I could find out where she got out, right? Because there's a fresh snow. So I walk in the back of my property, trip over a buried limb, break my ankle, and I'm laying in the snow looking at the sky going, did you not see my calendar? And never found where she got out and had to walk back on the broken ankle because, you know, we dog show people do whatever it is. So walk back on my broken ankle.
Yeah, but did you get the dog back? That's the important question.
Well, I didn't go out to look for the hole till I got the dog back. So, you know, and it's funny because my neighbors all know if they see a red dog running, it's mine and they call me. So I was sitting there with my broken ankle and realized my husband, who I love dearly, is not a dog person. He likes a dog. Sometimes I have 12 too many. So he's not really into taking care of the dogs. And I had nobody as backup for me. No one. And here I was with a broken ankle and my dogs eat in the basement because, you know, we all have our ways of feeding our dogs, right? So mine all go in their little beautiful stainless steel kennels and we feed them to make sure everybody's eating and make sure nobody steals, nobody gets fat. Well, I had to go up and downstairs with a broken ankle. That wasn't happening.
No.
So I created this program as I was laid up for 8 weeks. It's called the MAP program, Navigating the Journey Your Pet Takes When You Can't Care for It, which none of us do. I mean, nobody does because we're going to be okay. And even if we aren't okay, we'll get out there. And I go to dog shows all the time. I just was up in New England in Wrentham giving a 30-minute talk to the Irish Setter Club of New England, telling them, you know, you really do need to sit down and make a plan because all of this information is in your head.
Right.
So, you know, Laura, you and I both know these two dogs have to go together because they've been together for life and to separate them would be terrible. If something happened to you, who'd know that?
Yeah, you make a really great point. And I think too often as fanciers, we are caught up in that and don't do the things that we need to do. I think about it, I'm sitting here thinking about it right now. Okay, don't put that one with that one because they'll kill each other.
Right, exactly. And the thing that's interesting to me is that unfortunately, we as dog fanciers in the purebred dog world are blessed and cursed because we know that the people in our breed are going to come to the aid of their countrymen, you know, their breedmen. They're going to come, they're going to take your dogs, they're going to house them, they're going to feed them. It's all hands on deck. We've had that so many times when somebody's house burned or when somebody broke their leg. Well, that's like the worst of both worlds because then you have no control over how this person is taking care of your dog. You have no control over who's taking your dog because of the fact that you're laid up. What are you going to do? You're going to say, no, Laura is the last person I want to take my dogs. Well, she's the only one who can. I mean, really, because you haven't made a plan.
So tell us about the plan. Tell us, what are your steps? How do we go about doing this?
Well, there are four steps, and they're really easy. So I have a blueprint program. You can go to www.hamiltonlawandmediation.com.
We will put a link in the show notes. We have the website, and we'll make sure that the link is there for people to follow.
Thank you so much. So there's a blueprint, and you get a video from me and templates that tell you what to do. So the first piece, it's intuitive, but nobody does it. You have to sit down and make the plan you want to be followed. If, in fact, something happens to you, do you want your dogs to stay with you? Do you want your dogs to go? Do you want your dogs to have certain care? Are they going to be able to stay with you or not? What is the plan you want? Do you want to do extraordinary care if they get sick or not? All these things are things that you know intuitively. If you get information about your dog's health, you're going to do a certain thing. Well, nobody's going to do the same thing you're going to do because you didn't tell them. So the first piece is to sit down and just make that overall plan. If something happened to me short term, I broke my leg, long term, I have cancer, you know, I have Alzheimer's, I have something like that. You have to make that plan on what you want to happen going forward. I have two sons. I love them dearly. Neither of them can take my dogs. Not because I don't think they try to take care of my dogs. They're just 27 and 24. And, you know, no.
Right.
I love my dogs too much and I love my sons, but really not for.
And so talk to us. I don't mean to interrupt your flow, but I think this is a really interesting point. Many of us, you know, we have a partner, husband, wife, what have you, and we expect that they'll know what to do. And so we don't make this plan because, oh, he'll know what to do.
I thank you so much. If I had one person walk up to me, I've had 17 people walk up to me after I give a program and say, you know what, Deborah, this is really great, but my sister, my husband, my children all know what to do because I've trained them. I have notes all over the house. I do this, I do that. And I sit there and I go, okay, so there's two things. One is they don't know what you do, even though you have it written down. They don't know what you do. And you've probably only done the rudimentaries. They don't know not to put those two dogs together. My husband, I mean, your dogs might not all be the same color. Mine are all the same color. He sometimes can tell the boys from the girls, but that's only if he checks the plumbing. So he would know. I mean, I had a litter of puppies because he thought Beaver wanted to be friends with the girls. I mean, who hasn't had that happen?
Yes.
Right? So you just want to kill yourself. So that's the first piece. And the second piece is do it so your family doesn't feel guilty. So if, in fact, something happens to you and they want to take care of you and not take care of the dogs, they'd never tell you. They'd never tell you. So you'd say, listen, Drew, my son, I'd love for you to take the dogs if that's something you can do. But if not, I want you to feel okay because Mary will take the dogs, Sue will take the dogs, Joan will take the dogs. So don't feel obligated if it's like overwhelming to you. I actually had a client come up to me after she had told me, and she became a great client, after she had told me, you know, I don't need this. My daughter's going to take my dogs and I'm going to take her dogs and blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, you know, I don't fight with people. They know better. And she called me about a week later. And she goes, wouldn't it be great for me to relieve the guilt? So if you're Irish Catholic, you have guilt. If you're Italian Catholic, you have guilt. If you're Jewish, you have guilt. So you're relieving that guilt by saying, listen, I get it. I want you to have my dogs. But if you can't, these are the three people. And of course, for us, because we're in purebred dogs, even if you're in mixed breed dogs, find the rescue that you trust that will be the remainder person. That if, in fact, everyone you've appointed can't take your dogs, you know they're going to a place where they're going to be fostered, reviewed, and placed in a home that hopefully will be great. I mean, we can't reach out from the grave. We can't reach out from suffering from Alzheimer's or, you know, trying to recover from cancer. But these are the people we put in place so that we know that our dogs are well taken care of. So you want to do it because you want to really have a plan, a map, that gives these people the idea of what you want done and then relieves them of that because you have redundancy.
Right. Backup plans to the backup plans.
You need redundancy, especially us. You know, none of us have one dog. I speak to a lot of people with horses. If you think dog people are bad about planning for the care of their pets, you should think about horses, and they're 1,500 pounds.
Right.
So
they take a lot more
in?
Room.
They take a lot more room, and they cost a lot more. But the reason I made the map plan, because it's navigating the journey, haha, you know, it's somebody said to me, that's really not a good keyword, Deborah. I said, I get it. I'm not into keywords. I'm into making something easy for people to understand. So, Laura, the A stands for addressing the needs of the pet. So that's where you have to identify this dog gets this medication. This dog has to go with this dog or it can't go with that dog. This dog, her seasons, when she's coming in to see. Who writes that down?
Right.
right?
You know, and believe me, you're going to have a litter of puppies if you don't pay attention.
So you're talking about really a living document, right? Because
it is the living document.
Your dogs change. Each one changes. You know, some go, some stay, some, right?
Well, the good news is I've worked with a number of attorneys. In fact, if you have a trust and estate attorney, have them call me because they don't want to do this. They want to write the pet trust. They want to write the pet trust and get the money for the pet trust, but they don't want to help you build the trust that requires its implementation, right? They don't want that information. So you have the make a plan, address the needs of the pet, and then at the point, the people. We're very lucky. We probably have five or six people who would be able to take care of our pets. But what about those puppies who we sold as pets? If we co-own them, they're coming back to us. Maybe if the person has something up on their refrigerator, otherwise they're gone. And once they're gone, you can't get them back because they're not with someone who you have a contract with. So you need to make sure your owners appoint you as the first person this dog goes back to. That doesn't mean you have to take it. It just says, listen, Laura, you're the first person, but my neighbor loves this dog. And you, Laura, need another dog like you need a hole in your head. So you go, great, I want to meet your neighbor. I'll work out plans with your neighbor and your neighbor can have Fluffy. That's great. But you have to have that conversation. And the last piece is publish it. Because you have to make sure everybody knows where it is. And that's not just the people who are appointed to care for your dogs. That's your family members who may not be those people. That's your veterinarian. Because under the law, veterinarians are not supposed to treat your dog unless they have a piece of paper in the file that says, not only can I bring my dogs in and my family, but this person, and this person can bring them in and I will pay for the services.
Wow. Okay, good.
So people don't know that. And then you want this map plan with your attorney, because I have found a way in the Blueprint program to have you write it in a way that you can update it. Like you said, this is a living document. Every dog comes and goes. You know, we place our older ones, we have new ones, whatever. The map plan is referred to in your pet trust. So you are going to direct people to your map plan. That is the document that's living, that's outside any formal documentation, just referred to in the documentation.
Got it.
And you can change it because we have medications we give. We have dogs that come, dogs that go. We have all sorts of changes in what we want to do. You know, I might have a falling out with you and you might be the first person who's going to take my dogs. Well, I need to switch that. So you need to think ahead. And the wonderful thing about the pet trust, which you all want to make, I don't care who you are. You don't want all your plans in your will, because the only thing you have to do is die in order for all those plans to come to fruition. So if you're sure you're going to die, then put it in your will and leave and be good. Somebody said to me, in fact, somebody I love who just did her will again, she said her attorney said she's fine with having someone be her caretaker if, in fact, she doesn't die, if she has Alzheimer's or something like that. And I said, yeah, but there's no plan. You haven't given them a plan. You're leaving them to do it the way they want to. Well, it's you. You can do it. I said, I know, but I don't want to do it alone. I want to be able to say, okay, I can't take all your dogs. You know, some of the dogs are going to go here. I want a roadmap. I want something. And so attorneys don't know what we need to give us peace of mind. They know how to make a pet trust, but they don't know how to give us peace of mind. So that's what the map plan takes you through. You actually are forced by me to sit down and do this. And then every year, it's supposed to be maps. My girlfriend said, you should put an S on the end. I said, no, it doesn't make sense. But you have to schedule a review every year because, as you said, Laura, dogs come and go. Dogs get sick. You know, dogs have a moment and then they can't be together again, even though they were together forever. So, you know, this is all information that you need to keep up. So that's what my plan does. And it's really inexpensive because I try to do it in a way that people are actually going to do it. And the thing that frustrates me most is I'll go to these dog shows, I'll talk to people, everyone will walk up to me and tell me about the horrible experiences they've had where their dogs were left alone and they didn't have anybody to care for their dogs and blah, blah, blah. And then they never call me.
Right.
And I sit there and I go, okay, you can lead a horse to water. You cannot make them drink.
True enough. So this is, you offer this as a webinar. How do people get to this information?
So it's on my website, hamiltonlawmediation.com. Just go and you'll see it. It's called the Map Blueprint. And it's $147 if you buy it outright. It's, I think, $59 if you buy it in payments. And you have four videos that teach you how to fill out all four of the letters, make a plan, address the needs. It gives you all the information you need. And then I meet with you in every module to answer any questions you have. But Deborah, I don't know how to do this. Okay, this is how I can help you do this. Deborah, I don't have anybody to appoint. That's the thing that usually immediately comes up, not necessarily for we in the dog show world, but our owners who have our puppies. I don't have anybody to appoint. I just have the breeder. And believe me, you can't be the only person. You need them to stand on their own two feet and say, you know, the neighbor loves the dog, or my kid wants the dog, or my husband wants the dog. Well, great. Well, we need to make sure that we do it by virtue of they go through me and we go forward with the dog, because as responsible breeders, we want to make sure we know where our dogs end up. Otherwise, they end up at the shelter. And, you know, it drives me nuts.
So do you recommend then, as part of this plan, would you put in every one of your puppy packets some page that, not just your contract that says it has to come back to you, but an actual legal document that you sign that says that that person puts into their planning process?
Well, you know, it's a double-edged sword. If you get too pushy, people will balk. If you say to them in a way that's very welcoming, because we're all mentors, very welcoming, listen, we co-own this dog, or you know that in the contract it says this dog can come back to me, I'm going to put in this plan. It's called the MAP plan. And what I want you to do is I want you, when you finish the MAP plan, the blueprint, you get a footprint for your refrigerator. It says, I have a MAP plan. This is where it is. Because when you fall on your face on the kitchen floor and EMS comes, they don't know what to do with your dogs. But if you have it slapped on your refrigerator, this is where my MAP plan, that's part of the publishing, they'll know. So what you do is you just put that in the puppy packet. And then you call them and say, okay, did you do this? And you might actually just increase your, you know, dog purchase price so that you buy it for them, so that they do it. And then you walk through it with them. Because it really is important, if you really want your dogs back, that you have this document that shows that, in fact, when you're a co-owner, you can't make a trust for a pet without getting the okay of the co-owner to use anybody else but them. And so when I do the pet trust piece with my people in my blueprint program, I say, listen, you call your co-owner and say, listen, Laura, we co-own this dog, and I know that it has to come back to you. But my neighbor loves it. My son loves it. Can I put them as the second and third person so that when it's triggered, God forbid something happens to me, you're the first person, and I would appreciate if you would consider entering into an agreement with my son, my neighbor, whatever, so that the dog can stay where it's used to being. And if you do it in a way that's non-confrontational, if it's not, you know, oh my God, it'll likely happen.
Right. People like having that sort of, I think, structure. You know, my wheels are spinning about what, because I had not, like most of us, I have something for my dogs, but thinking about the puppy buyers. And then my next question for you, okay, so I keel over tomorrow and all my puppy buyers know that they're supposed to bring the dog back to me if they have a problem, but now I've keeled over.
Right, you're not there anymore.
Yeah.
So what you do is you then, so AKC only recognizes the co-owner, and if the co-owner's dead, co-owner's dead. The estate releases, so that dog is no longer co-owned. But if you have the MAP program and you gently guide people, they will then know that they will call Laura or Laura's person, whoever she's appointing, and have a conversation so they know that they're not left blowing in the breeze, but rather they know that Laura also has Sue, who she, you know, shows with, you know, has bred dogs with, has traveled with, whatever. You know, we all have these friends who are our sisters or brothers. And those are the people who these people can call and know that they will get help if they need to give the dog back or place the dog. Or what we want to do is we want to, of course, keep in touch, but not in a way that is onerous. But we want to let them know that, in fact, they can call us. You know, I actually had a person whose dog got hit by a car, and he was petrified to call his breeder because his breeder had been so diligent in screening him to get this dog. He was afraid she'd come and take the dog from him. So we have to have that, you know, gentle balance between.
It's a fine line.
It's a fine line. You want to make sure they understand that the dog has to come back. But if something, God forbid, happens to you and you co-own 50 dogs out there, well, that co-ownership under AKC is gone because, you know,
right. You're
dead.
Right.
So what you want to do is you want to have some documentation in the MAP plan, in their pet trust, that says, okay, so Laura is the first person in my pet trust to be the taker of my dog because she co-owns it. But then if Laura is gone, it'll be my neighbor. And whether or not there's someone in the interim that can watch if the neighbor's any good, that's something that you have to work out with them as well. It takes time and it takes thought, But most people go, well, you know what? I'm dead. What do I care? Well, that's not a really good way to look at it. But
not a great solution, no.
But we've all been sick, and they've done human-animal bond studies where people get better so much faster if they can keep their dogs with them. But if you don't make a plan, you're not going to keep your dogs with them. And even our friends who are in the dog show world who have Alzheimer's, they do so much better when they see Irish setters or golden retrievers, or because they remember. It brings them, it grounds them. But they're not going to see their golden retriever if they haven't made a plan and set aside money. And what I always say in the pet trust, you know, depending on your means, nobody should be taking your dog for the amount of money they're going to get out of the pet trust. It shouldn't be why they do it. And they should not be the remainder person in the pet trust. This is all stuff you learn in the blueprint. But, you know, the bottom line is that you want to leave the remainder of the pet trust to, you know, your breed rescue, your breed health foundation, you know, whatever you want to leave it to. And I always say you have to leave enough to take care of the dog and get it to the person. And then your administrator can always add more to it. But the bottom line is, if at the end you don't have any dogs and this pet trust is out there, you have to make it irrevocable when you're like 60, 65. And people say to me, what do you mean? I want to get that money out if something happens. Well, God forbid you don't have coverage for care and you have to go on Medicaid. Because if you have to go on Medicaid, they will invade that trust. So you will not have the money if it's revocable. These are all the little tidbits. My friend said to me the other day, Deborah, you give way too much away when you talk. And I go, I am just so passionate about people taking the time to do this. If I can scare the bejesus out of them so that they understand they have to make this plan, I'll tell them everything. Because there are so many nuances that you don't know. And I actually, Laura, it's interesting. I do a lot of lunch and learns with trust and estate attorneys. And they leave shaking because they are like tantamount to malpractice when they send their client out the door, say their dogs are cared for, and it's only in their will.
Right.
So I'm an equal opportunity frightener.
As long as you can scare the other lawyers, then we're in good shape. That's good.
Yeah, because it is really important for them to understand that dog show people are a whole different breed. We know that. But even the pet person really wants, you know, where I do a lot of free speaking is to the pit bull rescue groups. Because here they are, they're doing a corporal work of mercy, you know, trying to rescue these dogs, and none of them make a plan. Where do you think that dog's going if something happens to them?
Right. Okay, well, Deborah, thank you very much. Great, great information. We will have links to your websites, and I really appreciate you taking the time to share this with our listeners, because I think there's a lot of information here for them to take a look at.
Well, thank you so much, Laura. I greatly appreciate it, and thanks for putting the link up. It's a revolving plan, so it isn't like, oh my God, I have to begin tomorrow because it's starting. No, it's revolving, and every month I put it out there, so thank you so much.
Thank you. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.